This is one in a series of tapes sponsored by the Kentucky Folklore Foundation. I'm in the home of Mr. Oscar Bell, who is 81 years old today. Mr. Bell has had long experience as a country store operator and owner. He started back in his teenage years as a clerk in the store of his father, and he and his father and brothers and sons have been postmaster of these stores and has dealt with the local people. He's of particular interest because he knew the Clark family, and he also knows of the people in the area and the way they took care of their health needs in those early years. Mr. Bell, you say that you, when was your earliest recollections of anything along the lines of health, the way the people looked after themselves? Can you remember when you first had any encounter with any of the old doctors or midwives? Or?
Yes, I remember John Clark and you want all of them. And Ann Burks and Nanny Powell and see, there's an old pal woman over on Sinkin. I can't think of her name.
Roberts? Roberts?
Or? Yeah, yeah. Roberts. Mm-hmm. And,
can you remember any, the names are not that important, really. What is important, can you remember any time, any incident, any time when you had had people doctoring on you for various things, or your children or anything?
Yeah, John Clark, when I was about 9 years old, doctored me, and he'd come and stay overnight. And voice that, and leaned back against the wall, he left a greasy spot on the wall with his head. I remember that, and then John Hill, he was an old country doctor, and he doctored me with pneumonia fever, and he also doctored my father and my two brothers at the same time with typhoid fever in the year of 1930, the dry year. And so then we had... I've had a few doctors from Monticello.
In the later
mostly
period.
The old doctors, though. Mm-hmm.
Do you know
in
Dr. Roberts?
In my later days, I haven't had any sickness much.
That's great. That's wonderful. You look good for 81 years old.
Yeah.
Very healthy.
Yeah.
What was Dr. Clark doctoring your brother? You remember what it was? What he was doctoring him for when he stayed that long period? We got the wall greasy.
When he doctored me?
Yeah, the brother. Was it you or the brother when he was came over and stayed a long time with you?
No, that was John Hill. That,
what was it?
That doctored my father and two brothers. They had the typhoid fever at the same time. That was the 1930, the year of 1930.
Do you remember the flu epidemic in 1918 or 19?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Were they active? Were
that was in World War I, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. It sure was. You remember anything about that that would be interesting?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Quite a few people died at that time with the flu. And a lot of them would just use this old moonshine whiskey and doctor with it. And put herbs in that old moonshine whiskey and use it for flu.
The doctors would say, tell you that's the best thing to do for it, would they?
Yeah, they'd claim that's good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, has a lot of medicinal value. Now, when you were working with the store, did you deal in herbs and roots?
Oh, yeah. We bought ginseng and golden seal and may apple and wahoo bark and slippery elm bark and stuff like that. Back in the young, bought the may apple and would sack it up in old coffee sacks and haul it on the jolt wagon over to Monticello and ship it out to Isaac Rosenbaum at Louisville.
Did some of these things that you bought from people who collected it, did some of the people in the community sometimes buy some?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they would. The gold seal, they'd buy that. And sometimes they put that in whiskey and use for rheumatism, stuff like that.
Now, in your early period, you say you had a grist mill there with the...
Yes, we run an old grist mill for several years.
People
did on up after my father passed on, me and my brother run it. Wore out about 3.
Was it water powered or was it engine?
Old gasoline engines with the big flywheels on them. Mm-hmm.
People bring in their wheat and flour.
Come to the store and bring a turn of corn. We'd grind that turn of corn for them.
Mm-hmm. What kind of what did most of people, you think, in that early period, did they buy at the store? Most of them had gardens, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't sell no milk or nothing like that. Everybody had that, you know. And they didn't buy so many beans. They'd grow most of their beans, dry beans. Back then, we didn't sell so many groceries and canned goods or anything like that. They had that stuff, you know. Is mostly shoes and clothing and salt and stuff like that. Flour and meal. And we bring on that old salt bacon in big slabs and cut that up and sell it, you know. No fancy meats, nothing like that. And a lot of times we'd have a bunch of hogs fatten, and we'd kill them and run them through the store, sell them out in the store, you know. We didn't buy milk. We had our own cows and milk. Everybody did that. And we'd sell cow feed and stuff, something like that.
What about the health care of animals? Who looked after the animals? There weren't any veterinarians around, were there?
No, not them. Maybe there's a few fellows that'd be good to doctor a horse when he had the colic or something like that, and then get them. And put soda and vinegar in a quart bottle and drench the horses, and that'd put them to burping, and they'd soon get over the colic.
You've done a lot.
And cows. What they mostly doctored them with is the whole spirch in a tablespoon to their navel, and it took up that spirch, and that was good for the cow. And grease their head from their head back to their tail on the back with fried up red pepper and stuff like that. Where they stiff, that limber them up.
This Dr. Clark, Dr. John Clark, that owns some land just below here, can you tell us all you know about him?
Yes, he went all over. He wore Brogan shoes and jeans breeches. I remember that. And he'd go all over and white yarn socks. His wife had knit him. And he'd go horseback all over the country with saddle pockets on his saddle. With his medicine all in there, you know. And after he'd get there, he'd go to mixing it and putting it together after he went over the patient's case, most of the time the patient had side pleurisy, and they'd ask him if he could do all right with it. He said, oh, yes. So he had a funny word. He said, I'll manage that. And he'll be all right. And if it took it, well, he'd stay overnight and maybe the next day before he'd go home.
Didn't mind staying time with
me. Yeah. Oh, he wasn't stingy with his time. He'd just stay with him. Doctored all over the country, horseback.
And he had a pretty big farm, too, didn't he?
Yeah. Dr. Clark Farm in the Clark Holler.
How was he able to do all his farm work and do his doctoring, too?
His family carried on with that farm work while he's gone. He had a bunch of children. I don't know, there's 7 or 8 of them, I guess.
His wife, did you know his wife?
Oh, yeah.
I guess she did.
She was a Jones.
She make clothes and everything?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she'd make them breeches that he had. They call them breeches, you know, jeans breeches.
Did she?
And he had a bunch of goats, and in the fall, when they got fat, they'd kill them goats and eat them, you know. And then they had some sheep. They got wool off of to make the jeans and lancy and stuff that they'd get to make clothes.
Did she make any butter or grow chickens and eggs?
Oh, yeah.
Did she trade some at the store?
Yeah, they'd bring them to the store.
Get some cash that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They'd buy their salt and coffee. You could get 4 pounds of salt for a dime and 25 cents a pound for a coffee and the grain, and they'd done the grinding, you know. We'd bring that coffee on 150-pound bags.
It'd be rough in the grain.
And that's where I started then working in the store. I weighing up that salt and weighing up that pound, the pounds of coffee, you know. I thought I had a good job. I kept the shelf full of that, and that's the way we sold that salt and coffee, nickels worth and dimes worth and a pound.
Now the coffee, when you say in the grain, what do you mean by that?
It is to grind. We sold old coffee mills and they'd grind that coffee.
It was just green, huh?
And yeah, we brought on even green. It'd just be like it wasn't come off of the tree, you know. And it roasted in the stove, then grind it. It is good taste.
I bet it was better taste than this today. Yeah.
It'd be still, when it's green, you know, you'd be less on the pound. And if it's a nickel less, it made a lot of difference back then.
Yeah. What would you say that most people, did they, in those way back there, did many people, or many people cared, you say, in the later days, you began to, sometimes you'd have the town doctor in Monticello. Did many people ever have the town doctor in those
days? Yeah, once in a while. When they get real bad, they would. My grandfather, he passed on in 1906. He had what they called a blood cancer on his neck, and his Doc Reddish from Somerset come and cut it out, and it bled him to death.
Did he actually perform the operation in the home?
At the home, yeah. Yeah. Back then, it was Groundhog Days. Even back that far.
And how were most of the babies delivered?
These old country doctors delivered them. They didn't have no Monticello doctors for that. These old midwives would go around and deliver all the babies all over the country.
Now, when you mentioned Dr. Clark and his bags, those things he had in there that he mixed, though, were those mostly herbs and roots things that he put together?
Yeah, he'd have a lot of that stuff. Have little bottles powdered up, and then he'd put so much of each one.
Did he actually collect some of that, some of those roots and herbs?
Oh, yeah, himself. Yeah, you get out and he knowed all that stuff. He'd just get out and get it together himself. Then he'd go to the drugstore and he'd pick out medicine and he'd mix that. I don't know. He had no schooling, but pretty good knowledge, seemed like.
Do you know any old druggists that might still be living?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
I'd like to talk with some of them because apparently they did.
About everything around Monticello now is young. Mm-hmm. Ain't many of them old. There's just a year or two ago, some of the old ones passed on. Mm-hmm. There's a Dr. Duncan down there I'll tell you one that'll know a whole lot, and that's Doc Roberts. He's the president of the Monticello Bank, and he's an old timer himself, and he knows a lot of that stuff.
Dr. Bob Roberts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've interviewed him.
You did?
I'd like to interview him again, though.
Yeah.
I interviewed him mainly about when he was public health officer.
Yeah.
But I understand he was country orientated. He did a lot of country doctoring.
Yeah. Well, he's got a lot of that old time stuff in him, and he likes it too.
He was born over here in Oil Valley, wasn't he?
That's right.
Well, he's not as old as you are, though.
No, uh-uh, no.
He's a young whippersnapper. Yeah.
A lot of them Robertses was born just across the mountain over here in the Roberts Hollow over there.
Well, did some of the homes actually sometimes too collect things, herbs and roots, and put them up?
Yeah, they'd.
Tell me about that. So
they'd gather this ground ivy and make tea out of it, and Life Everlasting, they'd make tea out of it, and. Wintergreen, that's good for colds. And maybe in some of them it put a little moonshine whiskey in it to keep it, you know, keep it from sour. And bottle it up, a big bottle of it.
Just have it there in the medicine cabinet, and when they needed it, they...
Yeah. Didn't have no refrigeration, you know.
So if you had a good mother that knew or a father knew about these things, you could handle a lot of your...
You know that the old women, if a baby got sick, they hear of it, and they'd go to that place, and two or three of them, and it'd be as good as a doctor, because they know about what to do. My stepmother was good on doctoring children. They'd send for her, and she'd go and grease their chest and all when they'd have a cold. Wouldn't be long till they'd be coughing that out and get all right.
So there were women, even though they might not have been midwives, they still knew something about healing.
Yeah, no, she wasn't nothing like that. Mm-hmm. But they'd usually go. The women would go to see about stuff like that.
Why do you think that there was so much community spirit, people were willing to go like that? Nowadays it's kind of broken down.
I don't know, but they seem to be together, the community, a little better than they are today. Because they see about one another, you know. And if there's any need anyway, why? They took care of that, too.
Where would you say the country churches stronger, or were the churches?
Yeah, I'd say it was back then. But we go to the same church we did all the time at Concord, just across the river over here. Concord Baptist Church in 1825. It was established. And that big Sankin Church is the oldest church in the country. I forget now just what year it is established, but they come from Big Sankin and set up the church here at Concord.
Was Dr. Clark a member of the church?
I'd say he wasn't so much that way.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't so much that way. I just don't know whether he was a member. He didn't come to Concord. That was out of his community.
Mm-hmm.
He's over in another community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were there many people living back over in that in Clark Hollow?
Yes, there's been several people all the time, and there's more now though than there was back then, because it's getting thicker settled than it was. More homes over there.
People over now in Clark Hollow, are they seemingly as prosperous as they used to be or not, would you say?
Well, I'd say it runs along about the same, I guess. Yeah.
Are they farmers now, or do they work out?
They work on public works mostly. It's not a good farming section, I'd say. Pretty rough. They got to make a living some other way. Coal mines, lumber mills, and stuff like that.
So even as long as you can remember, they've always sort of done public works?
Yeah.
More than just farming?
Yeah. They about had to.
Just not much land.
Yeah.
About just subsistence, about all they could do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's an interesting term, public works. When I think about, in my modern mind, I think about public works, I think about government works. But when you say public works, you mean what?
Railroad, mining, and they worked on section, you know, and coal mines, and then these old sawmills around, and Stearns, all the way on back there, they run a mill for years, you know, lumber mill. A lot of fellows from this community worked out there.
Let's talk a little bit more about Dr. Clark. What kind of man was it? What kind of was his character? I mean, how would you size him up?
Well, they count him just a little bit on the windy side. It kind of tickled them to hear him make the expressions that he'd make. So he's seemed to be a little bit that way. Yeah. I remember him when he'd come to the store. It's kind of interesting to hear him talk. You'd listen at him, all right. He'd talk about different things.
He seemed to be a pretty well-read man.
Yeah, he seemed to be pretty well that way. And he seemed to study that doctor line pretty well, read all the books he could get to, and he seemed like he remembered well after he'd read things.
Mm-hmm. Did he have any formal education that you know of?
No, I'd say not.
Just self-taught?
Yeah.
The strongest thing was it that he just knew a lot about the woods and the things that grew out there and how to use them?
Well, not so much, I'd say. Not so much that way. I don't know how it was that he got hooked up in this doctrine, but that was the way his mind run Erasmus that way. And he studied these herbs and things, and that seemed like the country had a whole lot of confidence in his doctrine, and he had pretty good luck.
He could diagnose, he could...
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He spent a lot of time.
Yeah.
Well, how do you think that very unfortunate event happened where he shot a man? How did that happen?
Well, it was at his home and at his barn. These fellows was in his barn, and they went out, him and his son, and they shot or killed Johnny Worley and Cater Worley. They was about to kill him, but they didn't. He didn't. They let him by, but he thought they was going to kill him, too.
How old was he then, Dr. Clark?
I just wouldn't know. I don't know how old he was. He died, and I don't know, but he's... I'd say he must have been 50-year-old then when that happened.
And then he actually
served... They sent him to the pen for 2 years, so...
Then when he got out, could he practice medicine?
Don't think so much. Don't think he did as much. As he's getting on up there, his day was about over. You know, every fella has his day, and whenever it gets on up so old, it's about over.
That was really a tragedy, though, that happened to him like that. And I mean, I guess he brought some of it on himself, but it was a bad situation, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably. Them men probably shouldn't have been there.
They were just fooling around.
Mm-hmm.
Someone told me that even after he was not licensed anymore, that sometimes he would counsel people. Mr. Bell, the store down, Mr. I, what's his name?
I've heard that too.
He said that one time. You heard the story about him doctoring somebody that couldn't get well. The doctors were trying to help him, and he told him he couldn't practice, but he told him what to get.
Yeah.
You heard that story?
No, I don't know if I've heard that. Yeah.
But now, in that earlier period before that unfortunate event, would you say that there must have been a lot more like him around, you think, in other communities?
Yeah.
But you don't know of any other...
At the time he was a doctor?
Mm-hmm. Back in the early part of it.
Well, there was a Dr. Bryant over at Dennis Gap. He come in this community. That counted him a little above Clark, a better doctor.
What, do you have a little more education?
No, I'd say probably more than Clark, but he still didn't have any. You know, not many had any education back then. Take off to a little school and just go maybe a while and quit. Didn't have much education.
How much education did you have?
8th grade only.
That was good for that time, though.
Yeah.
You were well educated. My granddaddy had about 8th grade.
My father didn't have no education, but he was a shrewd businessman, and his mind covered different things, as well as the merchant. He was a other, he covered other fields too.
What other fields did he got?
Well, farming for one. Mm-hmm. And that on back there, he worked in the stave woods making staves, and he's a boss over a bunch of men. He'd run a crew of men. That's about what he'd done. He, of course, he worked on the farm some after he first come in here. No mother would stay in the store, he'd work on the farm.
That's come to the end there. These men, like Dr. Clark, did they also do work that might be now be done by dentists and things? Or how was that happen? How did people get their teeth?
He'd pull teeth. Yeah, he pulled. He had an old homemade pair of faucets that he used to pull them teeth. They'd go to him from all over the country and get him to pull them teeth. Of course, a lot of times go to the dentist, and most of the time, a lot of them would just go to John Clark, and he'd pull their teeth.
Were there any other things that he didn't do any surgery, did he?
No, I don't think so. Oh, probably he'd splint up a broke arm or a broke leg or something like that. He'd do that.
Wasn't much.
Wouldn't do no cutting.
Wasn't much place to go for that,
no,
was
it? No, that's right. Wasn't much.
Of course, as you said, with your granddaddy, you had to get a doctor to come down.
Yes, that's right.
Would some of those herbs that he had and things, would that relieve pain for people? Did he have some things? I've heard that slippery elm was good for.
Yeah, he'd put poultices on big boils and things out of some of this herbs he would. And draw them to head. Whether it be carbuncles on their neck or something like that, he'd have them poultices on them.
How did people die in that? Most people died in their homes, didn't they?
Yeah.
Other than the hospital.
No undertaker. And my father-in-law, he made coffins. They call them coffins, you know, all over the country. They're just homemade coffins. And they'd send for him. He'd take his tools and go to their place and make them coffins. When they didn't have the lumber, he generally had it already laid away of his own, and he'd make it free, furnish the lumber, all to make the coffins. And we, in our time in the store, we kept this black sateen to line coffins with. And that's the way they made them. Carpet tacks and line them coffins. No, wasn't no caskets brought in the country back then.
Could you tell me something about when a person died? What would be the, what would you do? And so you'd first call for the coffin maker, and he would make it.
It was what?
What would you do when a person died? What, besides calling for someone to make the coffin, what would happen then? Kind of tell me about the way it treated the dead people.
Well, this is the community together and dig the grave. You know, they didn't have no one like that. They just together and dig the grave, and they'd take them and bury them. The third day, they generally bury them on the third day if they died.
Did they set up with them?
Oh, yeah. In my sickness, they'd come and set up nights with me, and my father set up so many nights that he never had his shoes off. He just set up, and the other folks are too. They'd look for me to pass on, because when I had that spinal meningitis, the doctors told my father, said, if he gets over it, his mind won't be right, or he'll be a cripple or something. But I was young and I outgrowed it, and I reckon my mind is all right.
It sure is all right. It's in good shape.
Yeah.
Now, did your doctor at that time was Dr. John Hill, was it, when you had that, or was that Dr. Clark, when you had the spinal?
Yeah, and they had a doctor from town, the old Doc Cook, Dr. Cook, way back there. He'd come out here.
It was so serious that they wanted to call the best.
Whenever you had a serious case, they'd generally go and get the town doctor.
So let's kind of look at degrees of problems in health, unbalanced. If it was just something minor like cold or flu or something, the mother might be able to subscribe to take something out of the cabinet.
Yeah, that's right.
And then if it was more serious, you'd go to the local country doctor.
Go and get one of these old doctors.
And then if it was more serious, then you might try to get it. Why was that? Was it expensive to get a town doctor?
Yeah, a lot of they'd use these old doctors till it got real bad, and then they'd go and get the town doctor. Of course, it wasn't much, but it's much back then, you know, that if it's $10 by this, that's right small. A lot of them couldn't afford it, you know. And maybe Dr. Clark wouldn't charge over $3, $6, or something like that. And on his trip out, maybe there'd be two or three, pick him up, take him to their home. Before he'd get home, while he'd be at four or five homes, you know, on that one trip, they'd hear of him on the road. They'd go get him, take him to their house.
How'd they hear that he was coming, or just...
How's that?
How did they hear he was coming, or someone was sick?
They'd go to his home, and he went to this place, and then they'd go, and he went on to another place. They'd just keep after him. They found him, you know, and take him to their home.
How were the roads back then?
Rough, just mostly a horseback. It's too rough for a buggy. It's just old jolt wagons and horseback.
That's the reason it's been so bad for the town doctors to even get there.
Yeah, Well, they'd have to come horseback, you know, way on back there. They'd come horseback.
Take a long time.
Yeah. I had my arm broke one time, and a doctor come the next day. I fell out of the barn loft one evening, and the next day they went and got the doctor, and they come from town. He was Doc Douglas. And set my arm, and it's just like that now. Of course, I turned it on up that way. Kind of a bad job.
Took so long before we could get it set that it.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you've had a lot of experience farming. In fact, you still do a lot of cattle and hay and everything.
Yeah.
Think back about the veterinarian work. Who did that mainly? If your stock had some real serious problems that you couldn't handle, who would you call on?
For the stock?
Mm-hmm.
Well, on back there, we just Dr. Mercedes, but on up, and me and my brother, of course, we get the veterinarian. And sometimes we deliver calves that we can't deliver ourselves. A lot of times, by our help, whether we deliver them ourselves.
Were there any people in the community that were sort of lay veterinarians like the doctors and didn't have much education but knew a lot of...
Yes, there'd be they kind of depend on to doctor a horse or something like that. But most of the time, they all know about the same because they'd meet at the store and they'd talk over these things and they'd remember what John Jones said and they'd go and use the same remedy what the John Jones said to do. So it's like that.
I guess the store was kind of a central point along with the church, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I've sold a many a dollar's worth of goods and listening to a bunch even talk on the Bible and stuff like that. And
exactly.
I'd be busy and there'd be a bunch around the old wood stove talking what was going on in the community and all. And you could, as well as being busy, you could find out what was going on.
They talk about politics?
Yeah, they'd talk about politics. And about, a lot of times, they'd be talking about the highway going to come and how this is going to come with it, dodging mountains and things. The old folks, they didn't think much about this new machinery and stuff, you know. They'd try to pick out a way that it'd be a good road. There before it ever was built.
And the stores, I guess, was the closest thing to an undertaking that you did provide some of the things that made for the coffin.
Yeah. And back then, you know, there wasn't no telephones or nothing in the country. A lot of them get the habit of coming to the store to get the news, you know, all over the country.
Did y'all take a paper?
Yeah, we'd take a paper.
But would they read the paper there sometime? Or people talk about it?
I used to take a grit while I'm back there. See, we just got 3 mails a week back there. It was Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 3 mails a week. And then after we got down there at the store, it come 3 mails a week in 1949. And then this mail got to be daily mail and come from Monticello there and come from Stearns there for quite a while. I had two mails a day that'd be from Stearns and from Monticello. And meet down there a lot of times.
Well, did you begin to sell any patent medicines as they came out?
Oh, yeah, we had all kinds of patent medicines, sold a lot of wine cordial and black draught and all kinds of pills and cold medicine, stuff like that.
So you increasingly became sort of a drugstore in a way, didn't you?
Yeah, it depend on you have a lot of that stuff. Castor, turpentine, salves of all kinds.
Can you think of some more of those medicines?
Well, I don't know. I don't guess I think of anything else.
You were mentioning Sloan's liniment.
Huh?
Didn't you say Sloan's liniment?
Yeah. So Sloan's liniment and Japanese oil. And that mutton tower salve. Oh, a lot of them that I don't think of.
did sell any things like gauze or anything like that?
Any what?
Gauze is the preparation material, you know, like gauze or bandages and that?
No, not so much.
Didn't get that.
On later, of course, we had that, but not back there.
Did the people, when did they usually come into the store? Was it in the evenings? Or?
Well, it happened all day long. Yeah. About mail time, there'd be more. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I've seen them, they'd come horseback with them, with that turns to the mail, you know. I've seen horses hitched all the way down the road there to the mail and to the store and get their mail. And they come from different communities around because it wasn't, all didn't have the mails and they didn't have the post office, you know, the little stores.
When did the soft drinks come in? You didn't have them way back, did you?
Yes. My father sold them. And didn't have no refrigeration. He'd have a tub of cold water. And, of course, that wouldn't keep it too cold. And the ceiling, this strawberry pop, and when he'd pull it, it'd be so much so dense, you know, it'd be blow up and sprinkle the ceiling. Had the ceiling all bloody up there, look like.
Well, in that early period, most of the people made their own alcohol, did they? Moonshine, just make a little bit for themselves?
No. That was just a few that'd make that moonshine. Not many of them could make that, you know. Mm-hmm. There used to be a government still over on Wolf Creek, and we'd grind meal for him, and we'd take it and have it, an old jolt wagon, a pair of mules, haul it over there maybe, 25 bushel, grind that much on our old mill, take it over there, and he'd make that government liquor out of it.
Did
they put it in big barrels, and it had a warehouse there, you know, and it loaded off in that warehouse. And I remember one time they'd got them a bracing bit and bored up through the floor and bored into them barrels and emptied. And they'd go turn the barrels over, they wouldn't have nothing in them, done emptied them out. And that'd make them about Turner Somerset, and if they go to head over empty bar or full bar and hit empty, you know.
When did it become illegal to make your own alcohol?
How's that?
When did it become illegal to make your own alcohol? Do you remember?
Has it ever been like that?
That it was legal?
I don't think it's ever been.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Gateways were great makers of alcohol. They used to make it. I know in the homes a lot of the people made it.
It did? Yeah. Well, I didn't know about that. Yeah. Back as far as I can remember, it was against the law to moonshine.
Could have been back beyond in the 19th century, yeah, but they did used to make it in the homes, and as you said, it did have, it was good if used right, you know.
Yeah.
It had great medicinal value, and I wonder why sometimes how, if it was so hard to get and people didn't have the money, how they were able to get enough just to store the herbs and roots and stuff in. Way on back there,
that's all the government doctor to soldier was whiskey.
And like you said, during the flu epidemic, they were just, the doctors were saying, just, you know, use some alcohol, try to get people calmed down. And must have been hard and frustrating for people, because if they couldn't buy, they bonded. Well, the churches that were you a member of the church?
Oh yes.
The Concord.
Yeah.
In fact, well, how did they stand
about
on?
15-year-old when I joined the church.
How did they stand on alcohol? Just pretty well that it was the demon that.
Yes, if a member got drunk or anything, he was tuck up in the church. And they had to come up and make acknowledgments for his being drunk.
If he didn't straighten out, what'd they do?
Yeah. If he kept it up, didn't come up and acknowledge it, turn him out.
I heard that. I heard say that was
Hell
true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It turned him out.
How about on things like dancing? How did they stand on that?
On what?
On dancing.
Well, I never did have so much trouble out of it. I know. If he's drunk and they don't carry on that away, why? They'd bring a charge against him, you know, and he'd have to come and acknowledge to him.
How much of the community would you say, just roughly, were members of the church in the early period? How many people, percentage-wise?
Most of them.
Is that right?
Most of them, yeah. Very few that would be just outstanding and wouldn't come in. And they have the revivals that them it was like that, they'd work with them, and a lot of times win them by going to them, and they'd come in. Well, of course, there'd be a few that wouldn't, but most of them was back there.
Were the ministers paid, or were they lay farmers?
Yes, very small. They wouldn't get very much. Pass the hat and whatever they got, that's thankful for to get it, just whatever it was. And of course, it wouldn't be too much.
I guess they'd have to use some of that to keep the church up and everything.
Yeah. That no expense because they all met in and done the work, you know.
I see.
Built the house was built over there. I think there's been three houses there, and they'd just, the community would come in and build them, you know.
I see. Or repair it when it needed.
Yeah. But in the last few years, we got a pretty nice church over there. It's been, of course, that costs money to redo it and work it. It was built in 1913 when it was built, but it's been worked over. It's a pretty good house. Pretty good. And lately we built a Sunday school room to it. And all the classes goes in that Sunday school room. And the men folks, they have class in the church house. It's just, that's all is in there. It's just us men folks.
Do y'all pay your minister now a little more? Or does he... Does he work as well as minister? Or?
Yeah, he works. He's a carpenter. He helped do a lot of this. Joe Marr, who lives over Monticello, he helped do a lot of this work on building a Sunday school room. Of course, now it costs us to do things like that, you know.
Going back. From now in your church, can you remember some of the men that were ministers there?
Oh yeah, Wiley Jones and Grant Roberts and Reuben Jones and Pierce Kidd and C.C. Farmer. I forget now his other name, but it's C.C. Farmer. That's all. there's another or two that I don't remember right now.
Well, did these men back in the early period especially, did they come to the homes when people were sick along with the doctors?
Yes, once in a while they'd come. Not so much like they do today, though. They go out, the minister does to all the sick home more than they did back then. Oh, they'd go, but now the pastor will go into anything in his church bounds.
My goodness, you've been a member of the church for, what, something like 65 years, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, I felt good about my going then, and I still feel good about it. I ain't afraid to go, because I'm ready.
That's very important. Thank you so much for the interview. Very good.